Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, everybody, praise His holy name. I want to thank you for tuning in to another broadcast with Kingdom Builders International along with Kingdom Daughters International. This is Prophetess Teresa Dock. I am excited tonight about what God is doing in the lives of His people. I want you to be blessed with the music and get prepared for a word from on high, for truly God is moving by His Spirit, and it's time for the people of God to get set free. It's time to get out of that box and be all that God wants you to be. Be blessed with the music. Go into meditation. Get your Bibles. Get your pad. Get your pen. Get ready so we can sit at the table and eat. Enjoy the music, and I will be right back. Well, praise the Lord once again. I am going to lift the lines up for a word of prayer just to have a spiritual covering over the lines, over the ear gates of those that have tuned in. And I thank you so much for tuning in and desiring to hear a word from on high. Those that are on the phone lines as well as those that are on the internet. Father, we thank you for this hour of power. Lord, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praises, to whom all praises is due. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would come into our house, Lord God, that you would speak a word to us from on high. Father God, hide me behind the cross and allow your listeners, Lord God, to hear from you, Father. Let this word be a life-changing word to them, Father. Revelation knowledge come forth now in the name of Jesus. We cover every listener with the blood of Jesus from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet. And we thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them in judgment is already condemned. So, Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. We give you the glory and the honor. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray and we say amen, amen. Well, truly God is able. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can think or ask. And the word of God says, according to the power that worketh within us. So that means that we have power working on the inside of us. That power comes from the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Ghost. He said, even though I leave, that's what Jesus said, he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter that's going to lead, guide, and direct you. So we're not blindsided. We're not blindfolded. We got a comforter to lead us, a comforter to guide us, and a comforter to direct us. So I'm encouraged tonight. I'm encouraged because the Word of God is food. Sometimes you might feel discouraged, and I encourage you to pick up the bread of life, pick up the Word of God, and begin to meditate, begin to eat the Word of God, begin to consume it, begin to pray and ask God to give you revelation knowledge of what you're reading, because it's good for your soul. It's good for your soul. Well, God bless you once again. And we're going to talk about tonight, get me out of this box. Get me out of this situation. Allow my thinking, Lord God, to be different so that my body may be made whole. So it can be made whole. You know, as I was in meditation with the Word of God today, I got excited because God has all of the answers in His Word. The Bible is a precious gift that God has left for His people. And we very seldom pick up the precious gift that has all the answers. And we might go to the doctor, we might go to the dentist, we might go to the counselor, the psychologist, psychiatrist. We go to seek help, but the help has already been given to us. Get me out of this box. Renew my mind, Holy Spirit, so that I can be transformed into the mind of Christ, so that my thinking will be the way God wants me to think. Well, I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles out and turn to, we're going to start at Isaiah. And I pray that you have your Bibles out and that you're prepared to eat. And I hope you're not too full, because sometimes we can be so full that we can't receive. So I just hope that you're hungry for a word from on high. God is so good, and His mercies endureth forever. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. We're going to go to the third verse. And we're talking about the peace of God. Because a lot of times we find ourselves in a box because our peace is gone. Because we're disturbed about everything. And the Bible says in chapter 26 and the third verse, it says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whom mine is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Jesus. Tranquility. The word of God says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah, is everlasting strength." Everlasting strength is in the Lord. And if you believe the word of God, you know that it's already blessed. It's already blessed. I'm going to read the second verse where it says, "Open ye the gate, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in." Let the truth enter into your spirit. Sometimes we think we got it going on. Sometimes we think we got it right. But we have no peace. So we need the peace of God for several reasons. And we're going to talk about just a few things tonight. You know, just insight into getting out of that box, insight into healing, and even prevention of diseases. You know, the pathway of thoughts sometimes will place you in a box. So we have to keep our mind stayed on God, our mind stayed on the Word. And a lot of times those sickness will not be part or will not be our portion. And in order, and I want to give you some tools tonight. And in order to give you the tools that's needed, we need to talk about your construction, our construction. It will keep you, when you keep your mind on Him, it will keep you in perfect peace. So we're going to see, this will help you to understand how an invisible kingdom can tempt you. There's a kingdom inside of us. And that kingdom that's inside of us, it will speak to you. And not only will it speak to you, it will try to control you by forming its personality as part of your personality. If it can become part of your personality, it will seem normal, and you will not even resist it. That kingdom makes what is abnormal seem normal. And it's important that we understand that there's a kingdom that's inside of you, for the word says the kingdom of God is at hand. So each one of us have a kingdom inside of us, a fortress that have been built. Okay, you are triumph. You're triumph only in God. And I'm going to get to the part where I want to talk about you are a spirit and you are a soul and your body is the mobile house. But your body is not the real you. And as a believer, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to talk about getting out of this box. Now, your body is how you get around in the physical world. But remember, you are a spirit. You cannot see your spirit with your physical eyes. but it's in you. And your spirit lives inside of your body. Because if your spirit leave your body, you're dead. And, you know, brought to my memory, people have told me that they had out-of-body experience. And they call that astral projection. Say they left their bodies. Well, as I went into meditation, and God revealed to me, no, they did not leave their bodies. There was an evil spirit within them that had access to their human spirit. And the evil spirit will be able to project. And I want you to go with me on this. Pictures. Pictures into the soul. So the person thought that they left their bodies. But when in fact they went nowhere, the mind is strong. The mind will bring evil upon you or goodwill. And we're going to talk about that too, but the main thing is get me out of this box. It's time for God's people to be set free. It's time for us to be movers and shakers. But we're so busy dealing with health issues. We're so busy dealing with erroneous teaching, tradition. We're so busy dealing with other people's issues. But we need to get out of this box. And as I was talking about how the evil spirit, and I'm going to break it down to you, how when the evil spirits were able to project those pictures into the soul, so the person thought that they left their body, but in fact, they, like I said, they went nowhere. But the evil spirit projects through a brainwave. A brainwave is called, there's a five brainwaves. We're going to only talk about three tonight. But one of the brainwaves is called the theta. The theta brainwave is a brainwave of activity. And what that brainwave does, it gives pictures, an image, to reinforce like different experiences, different things that you may have seen. And you form a picture in your mind of it. But in the spirit world, there is no dimension of time as we know it. But when Jesus died, his spirit left his body. It was when Jesus gave up the ghost, the Holy Spirit, that his spirit left his body. When his spirit left his body, if Jesus' spirit left his body, and he gave up the ghost, how can we think that our spirit can leave our body and we're still alive? Yes, sometime you can be revived. But when your spirit leaves your body, it's not going to be long. You're going to be gone. But when Jesus' spirit left his body, his body hung on the cross with no life in it. And they took his body off the cross. And they wrapped it up and laid it for 3 days, 3 nights in the tomb. But he wasn't in that body. His spirit had left. Now, and I want you to really think about this. Jesus had suffered for sin. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. And being put to death in the flesh. Get me out of this box. Being put to death in the flesh. Get me out of this box. but quickened by the Spirit, by which he also went and preached unto the Spirit in prison. Now that's 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, 18 and 19. But this scripture tells us that Jesus went into hell and he preached to the spirits whom were disobedient in the days of Noah. And I'm going somewhere with this. And we know that God raised him up and he was seen up to, I think, over 500 people at one time. For 40 days, he walked up and down the street of Israel. Jesus rose. Now we're going to talk about the body, the spirit, and the soul. We know that the spirit and the soul lives in our body. Our body is like a box. Our body is not us. Our spirit is us. Now, I want you to understand the triune person that you are. Your three parts, the Godhead in Christian belief. Three in one, which constitutes the Trinity in unity as the God, as the Godhead. Now, if you don't take care of your body, because that's the box that you've been put in, that's the box that your spirit is living in, that's the box that your soul, and soul alpha is another word for soul, and beta is another word for body, and theta is another word for spirit. And I'm going to break this down to you. Do you know that we're going to talk about bitterness, what bitterness does to the body, what bitterness caused you to stay in that box? Bitterness is a principality of the enemy. The enemy will use bitterness. Okay, you don't believe me? Turn to Ephesians 6 and 12. Ephesians 6 and 12 say that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the ruler of the darkness of this world. So, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we have to remember that, because sometimes we begin to wrestle with the individual. But the Word of God says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities. Bitterness is a principality. We wrestle with bitterness. Get me out of this box. We don't realize that bitterness can cause us to become ill. Bitterness can cause us to become sickly, self-destruct. If we are in a conflict with someone else, we have to remember, when we're in conflict with one another, I'm not your enemy, and you're not my enemy. Do you know the problem we have? We're not able to separate the person from their sin. See, their sin is our enemy, not them. Now, when someone violates you, we'll make him or her evil, along with the evil, the sin that they did. Don't we? Because I've done it. We have to be able to separate people from their sin. God didn't create you from the foundation of the world. God didn't create me from the foundation of the world as a sinner. He created you. He created me as sons and daughters forever. But because of sin, we become separated from God. Because of bitterness, we have become separated from God. Even after our conversion, we still got so many things to work out. And I want to help you begin to do this today. And as I minister to you, trust me, I'm ministering to me first. I mentioned bitterness is a principality, and under it and answering to it, there's seven other spirits that reinforce bitterness. Bitterness is a root demon. It's like a mother demon. It's a nucleus. When bitterness is there, all of these others that I'm going to mention are there along with you. One is unforgiveness. Jesus, unforgiveness. Shataropo, unforgiveness will keep you in a box. When the root of bitterness in Hebrew get a foothold, the first thing that happened, we began to become a recording, like a tape recording. We record all the wrongdoings of that person. Let me show you. Turn to Hebrews 12 and 15. Hebrews 12 and 16. It reads, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springs up trouble. Then the next word says, you. Bitterness springing up trouble you. Bitterness springs up trouble you. What kind of trouble? Thereby may be defiled. You become defiled. Now, what kind of trouble does bitterness bring us up in us? Now, we understand that stress causes our blood pressure to go up. Stress is the mother hen of heart disease. We didn't know that. Stress is the mother hen of strokes, of heart attacks. Because what happens, we began to get all these pains, and we can't find out where they came from, where they originated from. It's not medical. It's spiritual. Spiritual. Now, how many times have you looked back, flashback at things and situations that happened, things that have been done to you? And I'm just going to say, for instance, if you mention a person's name, I'm going to say Aunt Sally, because I don't have no Aunt Sallys, but Aunt Sally. And you probably can give about 15 reasons why you don't like Aunt Sally. This is unforgiveness. After unforgiveness, get a foothold, and you begin to create a record of wrongdoing, because that's what bitterness does. There's another dimension of the spiritual dynamics. Now, what I'm talking about is resentment. Resentment comes. Get me out of this box. We put ourselves in these boxes, and we don't understand that we have authority and power that's working inside of us, that we can just open up that box We don't have to be held hostage. You're free in your spirit, man. And even though you live in that body, you don't have to be in a box. The second one, as I said, resentment. Resentment is the record of wrongdoing being fueled by feelings of holding on to it. And then you begin to meditate and even chew on it. You begin to chop it up. And you know what? It's amazing to me that when we feel resentment, and I'm going to mention Aunt Sally. We think about Aunt Sally in our minds. And we don't feel her down here in our heart. We think about her in our head. And why is it that you think, no, it's me, why is it that I think about Aunt Sally up here? And I feel, and I don't feel her down here in my heart. You know what? It is because our mind is where our soul is. And I'm going somewhere with this. Our mind is where our soul is. And where our spirit is. In our heart. See, you're a spirit. You are a spirit being. You have a soul. And you live in a body. So what happens is resentment is a spiritual problem. Not a psychological problem. Not a medical problem. Bitterness, unforgiveness, and resentment, they're spiritual problems that can cause psychological problems, that can cause physical problems. And we can take these keys and use them in any spiritual conflict that take place in our lives. Resentment will take you out of here, up out of here. Unforgiveness, bitterness, and I'm going to talk about even how it affects your body, how it reflects the enemy. But I'm going to first move forth with how this resentment, and you don't even realize it's there, but it's eating you up from the inside out. And it'd be the little foxes that spoil the vine. I mean, you know, you think way back 20 years ago, I remember when I lost my Longines watch and the lady at the church found it and I saw her with it on her wrist. And I was a little girl. And I see a Longines watch, and I think about, she took my watch, and my mama wouldn't let me say nothing to her about it. Resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness that will keep you in a box. And it's so important that we realize that we have authority, and we don't have to stay in a box. God wants us to be set free. This will get us in the right place with God when our hearts are willing to forgive and not have the bitterness and resentment that will take us to our grave. This is what separates us. It separates us from others. It separates us from God. And it's the foundation. And I want you to listen to this. It is the foundation of fear, which may come later. Fear of trusting. fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of abandonment. We might as well go high. We may as well go high. God wants us to live life abundantly. And these are issues that take us away from our Father. Thirdly, we're going to talk about what comes next. You're bitter. You're resentful. You're walking in unforgiveness. Next thing you know, fear has developed. Now you want to retaliate. Retaliation. After resentment, get that foothold, then we want to retaliate. You know what? I saw a bumper sticker one time. And the bumper sticker, it says, I don't forgive, I get even. Now, maybe you may have saw a bumper sticker like that too. But after resentment has started to just simmer in your soul, in your spirit, in your mind, in your will, it begins to simmer. And we meditate about it. How am I going to get back at this person who caused this affliction, who caused this pain? You know, retaliation, it makes us want to just pay that person back. It's time to get even. Retaliation will take you to a place that you don't want to be. You start thinking, you know what, it's time to get even. It's time to shut this demon down. We have nerves to go flip-flop back and forth, this demon. But we actually calling the person the demon. But we have to learn that our battle is not with flesh and blood. If you don't get anything else tonight, get this. The battle is not with flesh and blood. When you begin to forgive, you choose to let that person off the hook. And you choose to get up out of that box. And then, of course, anger. That's the fourth thing, anger. You're angry. After retaliation, take that foothold and it's simmering in your spirit, mind, soul, and body. Now you're angry. And then anger starts to settle in. It set in. And then it become friends with unforgiveness and resentment and retaliation. And it began to build. And now it's really strong. It's a real strong feeling of anger that comes along. Have anybody ever felt that? Now it's a kingdom inside of you. It's a kingdom filled with anger, bitterness, resentment, retaliation. You've set up a fortress. You did it. You allowed it. But your finger is pointing at that person or those persons. But you have the power, you have the authority inside of you to make a choice to let it go. Hatred, Jesus. After anger, now I'm going to talk a little bit more about, we're going to stay on anger just a little bit longer. As I was saying about anger, the Bible say, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. The Bible talk about how sometimes, you know, you could be so angry, and then your blood pressure just shoot up. You could be so angry, and you begin to have chest pains. You could be so angry, and your head began to hurt. You begin to self-destruct. from the inside out. Get me out of this box. We put ourselves in a box because we don't realize that the battle is not with flesh and blood. The battle is not with flesh and blood. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, what the word says, but against principalities. These are principalities. Bitterness is a principality. Unforgiveness is a principality. Retaliation, anger, it's a principality. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And those high places is in your mind. Those high places is in your spirit. Those high places is in your heart. And we carry these spirits of principalities within us, and we think we okay. And then the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The mouth speaks what's in your heart. The condition of your heart is going to come out your mouth. If you're full of mess, mess going to come out your mouth, because it's in your heart. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, because the enemy want to take you up out of here with a root of bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness. And you know, sometimes that hatred can be so strong in a person. Have anyone ever experienced anger towards someone that just won't go away, that you just can't shake? Have you ever experienced bitterness, unforgiveness? You know, like I said, the hatred comes along with the anger. And that hatred, it'll have you saying, I remember when he said this. I remember when she did that, because I have really been meditating in my subconscious, in my mind. I haven't let it go. I've been meditating and remembering what that person did. I'm really resenting it, and I'm resenting them. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm going to get even. I'm going to get this pressure cooker going, because I'm going to add some fuel to this thing. And now, at this stage, hatred will say, I got to get them for what they did. I must get even. They got me looking bad. That pride. By the way, God hates it. And you know, it exists in us, especially when we don't choose to make a choice to get out of the box. Because when we get out of the box, and I'm going to talk about this on next week, when we get out of the box, our healing comes. Hatred always say, I can't even stay in the room with that person. And not even in the room, I don't even want to be on the planet with that person. Hatred starts developing. And guess what it does? It creates a climate. It creates an atmosphere so strong that if two people are in a room and they hate each other, they can tap into the atmosphere in the room. We have power, people of God. We have authority. Do you know if hatred can permeate the room and cause discomfort in someone else that's in the room? Do you know how much more love can do? That same atmosphere that a hatred created, that same atmosphere that brought up your blood pressure, that same atmosphere that's causing you to have a headache, that same atmosphere that's causing you pain, have taken rule over you. Sixthly, the sixth thing is violence. All of this work together. And it starts from a root of bitterness. After hatred comes, that's why we have to forgive. That's why we have to love. That's why we have to understand that our battle is not with flesh and blood. The enemy's sitting back smiling because he understands, now I got them going against each other. Now I did exactly what I wanted to do, but God already gave them the word, but they don't choose to read it. They don't choose to understand it. They don't choose to sit down and allow it to take over their spirit being. So now we're walking in violence. And after hatred, here comes violence. Walking along and violence say, before I eliminate this person, they're going to feel some pain. They're going to hear my voice. They're going to hear what I got to say. And you're going to know that I hate you. And you're going to feel the pain and you're going to experience it. Because hatred is ruling. Hatred is leading. And then what's next? This is the last one. Murder. Jesus. But God said we got power and authority to prosper and to be in good health. That same Holy Ghost power is not in your box, is not in your body, because he won't live there where there's confusion, where there is hatred, where there is malice, where there is bitterness, where there is resentment. The Holy Spirit says, I will not live in an unclean temple, an old nasty house, an old nasty box. I'm out of here. So violence come and brought on murder. And once murder erupts, the final fruit of bitterness is murder. Now, this don't have to actually be physical murder, but it can actually be physical murder. But we murder with the tongue, our mouth. If some of us could just get our mouth, our tongues cut out, we probably can make heaven. We probably can accept that we're not able to speak it. But then we will begin to meditate on it, and maybe we can deal with ourselves a little more. This is a character assassination. Verbal abuse. Now, whenever I find any of these in my personal life, I know who to go to. I know the rock, and I know you know the rock too, but I run to the rock. So when you see this in a person's life, all the stuff from here, when I say here, I'm talking about the man because I'm pointing to my head, to here, second here, is the heart. From here to there, that's what I call it. Here going to be my mind and there going to be my heart. But I know if we don't deal with it, that it's going to go to the heart and it will take residence. It will live in your heart for free. So what I'm giving you right now is discernment. Be able to discern what is actually in you, what spirit, what principality. Because when hatred, violence, and murder are in someone's life, they feel that they're justified. And everybody else is going to pay the price. Now, have you ever been a victim of this? Did you feel defiled? Or did you perhaps were you made a victim of someone else on this basis? You know, I found that if any one of these seven areas answering to bitterness exists, all of the proceeds, all of the ones coming after there, from that one area is from bitterness. And I noticed that if it's left unchecked, all the rest will surely come. For example, if you see hatred in a person, you can discern it's unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, and anger always proceeds. And also, each of the seven, is progressive. They progressively get worse than the one just preceding it. For example, violence is a much more serious problem than resentment. And you wonder why our jails are filled. These jails are not just filled with unbelievers. And sometimes we live in a jail, but we're not locked up. In a cell, but we're locked up in a box. Because we don't choose to get out of that box. When I asked the Lord what to talk about tonight, I heard the Holy Spirit say, tell my people, get me out of this box. How do we get out of the box? Forgiveness. That's what God expects of us. How do we get out of the box? The Word of God says, Jesus said to him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Matthew 18:22. God expects us, when we're forgiving someone, that we also have to forgive ourselves. You know, Peter and Jesus, they had an interesting conversation, you know, and Jesus was teaching Peter. And Peter asked the Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Didn't Jesus drop the bomb on him? Didn't he drop the bomb on him seven times? And then Jesus said, no, I do not say seven times, but I say 70 times seven. And one day in my prayer time, I asked the Lord, what do you mean by that? And it came into my heart and into my understanding that our days, and this is in closing, our days are 24 hours long. We got 8 hours for work, 8 hours for family, and 8 hours for sleep. 8, 8, 8. If it takes 8 hours a day, whether it's for business, family, or just even for yourself, this is the whole dimension of human existence. Listen to it. Others and yourself and so on. So if you take 8 hours, how many minutes are there in an hour? 60. So 60 times 8 is 480. What is 70 times 7? It's 490. So I feel the Lord is saying it this way. Every minute of your day, when your brother blow its issues and his regards on you, minute by minute, we're listening to different things in different situations. Hour by hour, day by day, situations after situation. I feel the Lord is saying, forgive them and release them. Let them go. Because sometimes we carry a burden that's not godly given. You know, but the Lord, if he says 70 times 7, we have to know that it's endless. Forgiveness is the answer to all of the 7 things that I talked about. The root of bitterness, unforgiveness, retaliation, anger, hatred, violence, and murder. Choose to forgive. You can make that choice. Because even when we're forgiving, we're repenting. Because we were walking in unforgiveness. And we can't judge people. Because sometimes we operate in witchcraft ourselves when we're trying to judge a person, when we're trying to control them. The Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged, Matthew 7:1. But if thou judge thy brother, or thou set at naught thy brother, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:10. So you forgive others because he has forgiven you. And he has told us to forgive. And if you are a child of obedience, when you have forgiven your brother his trespasses, then our Father, our God, will release us. When God releases you because you have released your brother from his trespasses, you are now released from the spirit of bitterness, from the antagonistic, high-octane plague from the inside. It'll go away. And when you think about Aunt Sally and her trespasses, tomorrow or the next day, and when the work of the Holy Spirit has been completed in our lives, you do not feel her down in your gut anymore. You do not have that high octane feeling that you always had, that evilness, that evil spirit that's ruling you, that principality that have kept you in that box. Your freedom, it does not come until you choose to forgive, until you make a choice, until you get up out of that box, you're free. You become free. God wants us free. God wants us whole. God wants our bodies whole. God wants our minds to be free. And when you're free, whom the Son set free is free indeed. There is a more excellent way. God wants us to be in health, because when we carry these principalities inside of us and the illness comes, health cannot come. Good health cannot come. We can feed our spirit. We can be depressed over a loss. We could be depressed, a loss of a loved one, loss of a job, loss of income, loss of a relationship. We can let a situation cause our health to fail us. And before we know it, when I look at these young people and they're angry, I've been really doing some research. They're wearing their pants down. They have no respect. They're bitter. They're angry. They're resentful. Violence, bitterness is rooted in our young people. And we sit back with the shades pulled down, sleep in the box. I encourage you tonight to adopt a more excellent way. To adopt what God wants in your spirit. Be made whole. Be set free. So if there's anyone in your life that you have not forgiven, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be in good health. Allow your soul to prosper. Because diseases come when we are walking in unforgiveness. We have to recognize that we have to repent. Repent first. Forgive. And get out of that box. God will take you out of that box. Well, I thank you so much for tuning in. Don't miss next week's broadcast, because next week we're going to talk about our health issues. Because a lot of our health issues, like arthritis, sinus infections, sleeping disorders, strokes, heart attacks, all of that, a lot of times it's because of these principalities that we allow in our lives. So I'm excited about it, and I encourage you to get excited, because whom the Son set free is free indeed. Be free tonight. Get up and get out of that box. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to be bound. God wants you to be free. There's a dying world. There's somebody with their pants hanging that needs you to encourage them to pull those pants up and forgive. But we be in our shell, and we don't understand that God want to use us. And when we come before the Father and we get judged by the saints, I can hear the Lord saying, "What have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately?" So we're gonna end with that. But remember, there's a kingdom inside of you. And you have to be careful whose kingdom it is. I thank you. And I'm going to cover the lines and cover you with a word of prayer. I'm not going to open the lines up. But I just thank you for tuning in. And I pray that you were blessed with tonight's broadcast. I pray that you examine yourself. And that if there's any unforgiveness, that you will release it. You'll let it go. And you'll get up out that box. And you'll begin to smile. And you'll begin to love on God. And you'll begin to love on people, even those that have despitefully used you. Father, I thank you for this hour of power. I thank you, Lord, that we give you glory and honor for who you are. But I ask you right now that you would allow this word to saturate the minds, the body, the soul, and the spirit of those that's on this line. Father, that you will literally allow it to sink through their blood vessels, that you will literally allow this word to flow through their aorta, through their jugular, through the cerebellum, that you would allow, Father God, their nerve endings to eat this word, this engrafted word, that it will grab hold, Lord God, to every gland, that it will grab hold to every muscle, Lord God. Father God, that they would be new in you, Father God, that they would walk in forgiveness. Father God, that they would be so free that their spirit man will begin to float in you, Father. That the joy of the Lord will be their strength, Father, that no opponent will be able to come against them that's not of you. In the name of Jesus, we give you honor and glory, and we love you, Lord, for who you are and whom we are. In the name of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, if you don't know how to say I'm sorry, if you don't know how to step into the things of the kingdom, I encourage you tonight to repeat after me. I love you, Lord, and I want to be part of your kingdom. I believe Jesus died upon the cross, and I believe that he rose again, and I believe that my sins are forgiven because of every drop of blood that he shed. It was for me. It was for me. And I know, Lord God, that there's nothing I have done that will hinder me from being saved. I believe, I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want more of you. I want a new life. In Jesus' name, in the mighty, precious name of Jesus, I say amen. It's just that simple. If you said those words, I'm excited for you. The kingdom of God is excited. The angels are rejoicing, for you're now in the kingdom. You're now part of God's kingdom. And I encourage you, you can check us out on our website. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, go to www.kingdombuilders.org. We'll be more than happy to send you out a Bible. And we even can provide audio MP3 Bible for those that don't have a Bible. You can give us a call. You can email us. We'll be more than happy to pray with you. We'll be more than happy to share the love of God. Get into a Bible-based church, a God-fearing church, so that you can be built up, so that you can be encouraged, so that you can be empowered. And remember to keep your eyes on God, not man, but God, because he will lead, guide, and direct you. We're excited for you, and we're encouraged by you. And we bless you with the love of God. Well, in closing, I just want to say to all the sisters tonight, keep a smile on your face, because you're out of that box now. You're free. You're free. Don't go back to that box. Get excited about every day. Get excited about every hour. Get excited about every minute. Get excited and create your own atmosphere in your home. Begin to praise God. Begin to celebrate him. Begin to love on him in your private time, because God wants you to go out and win a dying world. God wants you to be a soldier for the kingdom. Well, God bless you tonight, and I have a blessed evening on this Sabbath day. This is a Sabbath day, Saturday. It's the Sabbath day. On the seventh day, our week should start on a Sunday. But God bless you. Keep a smile on your face. You look so much better when you smile. I look so much better when I smile. And I'm going to play this song, and I'm going to dedicate it to you, because I want to spunk you up a little bit. God bless you. Let the love of God keep you.
Depression and unemployment.
Joy that you promised to tell me it's alright.
So remember, it is a new day. Keep smiling. Keep sharing the love of God. Keep smiling. Whatever the enemy does to you, keep smiling. Keep loving. Keep forgiving. Keep moving. Keep it moving. Keep going. Keep going. God bless you and good night.
Y'all still left. Whatever you're in right now.
Smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And my people say,
oh, oh, oh. Feeling so much better when you're home. Oh, oh.
Bless your name, God. Bless your name, God. Oh!